Bill and Charlie and city staff, welcome to the May 9th council meeting. It's a longstanding tradition. First of all, let me just remind everybody to silence your electronic devices so that we don't have any interruptions. It's a longstanding tradition of Simpsonville Council to have an invocation prior to each meeting. At this time, I ask if there's any volunteer from council who would like to deliver an invocation. Councilman Rue.
Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your son, and we thank you for an opportunity to live in the country that we live in, and specifically this city. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. I pray that we would do your will as we make decisions for this city. May you give us wisdom, and may you protect our city as we continue to grow. Lord, we thank you for all this. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Now that we have thoughtfully prepared ourselves for this meeting, I will call to order the May 9th Simpsonville City Council business meeting. We can have roll call, please. Clerk Clark?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember Gooch?
Here.
Councilmember Rue?
Here.
Councilmember Houlihan? Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings? Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on our agenda is a presentation by Charlie Barano from the Municipal Association of South Carolina. Charlie, if you would come up to the microphone here at the podium and make your presentation.
Great. Mr. Mayor, members of council, it is wonderful to be in Simpsonville in the upstate this evening and represent the Municipal Association. You are one of our 17 what we call honor roll cities or honor roll councils. Each of you, all seven members of council, has completed our Municipal Elected Officials Institute. And of our 271 cities, only 17 have done that this year. So we commend you and wanted to honor you with a plaque from the Municipal Association. The Municipal Elected Officials Institute was created in 1986. And we are certainly very proud of that voluntary training program that each of you committed to go through. So congratulations again to each of you on behalf of the association.
Thank you, Charlie. And if you will listen to my comments, we're going to wait until the meeting adjourns to take a couple of pictures.
Yeah.
But just my comment on this is just first, I want to thank council for their efforts. This takes some time and effort to get this certification. I want to brag on our council because we are the only municipality in Greenville County who has this honor. And I think that's pretty neat. And so well done. And thank you very much for the recognition. Thank you very much for the value that NASC brings in those courses. It's been very valuable to me personally.
Yes, sir. Congratulations to each of you.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to rise to a point of personal privilege and read a letter that I received in the mail that is addressed to all of council. Hello, Mayor Paul and City Council. I hope Simpsonville has an attaboy award because Josh Rupp and his grounds crew are surely deserving. They went above and beyond to get our City Harmony Garden ready for spring planting. In spite of setbacks in weather, we have almost all of the 18 raised beds filled, with May 6th as our last planting. Here's to another successful harvest for the food bank, our 12th year. Best regards, Sandy Cogan and crew, Harmony Garden. Item 5 on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Each member of council will have received a copy of the minutes. Are there any corrections? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. We had no citizens sign up for comments, so we'll go on to the next item, which is business 7A, second reading of local revenue services Ordinance O-2023-01. Administrator Grace Lee, will you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, and I'm glad Charlie's here. He can report back to LMASC staff tomorrow that we did our due diligence and we have completed this task. So if you recall, we've had this discussion in Committee of the Whole and then we have gone through first reading of the ordinance. The Municipal Association, as you know, offers collection programs for certain business license taxes for us. Those include the insurance tax collection program, brokers tax collection program, and the telecommunications tax program. They have collectively rebranded those three programs into what is now known as local revenue services. And they have assigned acronyms for those three taxes that I just mentioned to you. And so what they're asking all of the municipalities who participate in this program to do is to enact an ordinance that would recognize the rebranded name of these tax collection programs and then also authorize me to sign an agreement and a supplement as to which programs we want to participate in. And so this would be second reading of the ordinance, second and final, and upon adoption, we'll have the mayor enact the ordinance and then I would be authorized to sign those subsequent agreements.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchins.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve on second reading of Local Revenue Services Ordinance 0-2023-01.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchins with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing none, will all those in favor signify by saying yes? Yes. Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 7B, first reading of fiscal year 2023-2024 budget, ordinance O-2023-02. Administrator Grace Lee, will you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. At the Committee of the Whole meeting 2 weeks ago, I presented the budget draft and noted some highlights of the budget, and I'll go over just a few of those, and then you have in your packet for tonight the ordinance that is presented for adoption on first reading. I don't want to belabor this and go through everything that we talked about last time, but I do want to point out a few things in here. I think there were a couple of you who missed the Committee of the Whole, and I'm sure you've looked through the materials, but items of particular note, the municipal millage rates and values that I put in this budget presentation. I think in addition to having a distinguished council who has completed the Municipal Elected Officials Institute, we also have a council who's very fiscally responsible and currently have the second lowest millage rate in Greenville County. Our current millage rate is 59.8 mils. Only Malden is lower at 53.9. And the highest millage rate in the county is 99. So you can see where we compare to others. And so I'm very proud of the fact that we've been able to provide the level of service that we do while keeping our millage rate low. I also provided for you in your packet organizational charts for each department so that you can see, obviously, our biggest value that we bring to the citizens or the services we provide, and we do that through our personnel. So I thought it was really important for you to be able to see and get to that information very quickly, see how those human resources are allocated by department. Just to summarize that for you, we have 195 full-time employees and 9 part-time employees. So just hitting the budget highlights before we go into the ordinance. I have proposed a $2,500 per employee cost of living increase. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, you know, typically we would do a COLA or a merit based on a percentage of the salary. But this year, given the high inflation rate, I thought it was more prudent to do a flat raise for all employees, regardless of their current salary, because obviously inflation is hitting people who make $30,000 to $35,000. Just as hard, if not harder, than people who make higher salaries at the city. So, you know, you don't want to do that too many years in a row because then it flattens the compensation table. But I think for 1 year, it's a good approach to put more money in our employees' pockets to help them deal with this crippling inflation. We also will continue to provide Proactive MD, which is the free primary care doctor services for all of our employees and the dependents who are covered under our health plan. It also includes the transfer of money from the Public Works Enterprise Fund into the general fund for resurfacing, and that money is matched through the County Legislative Delegation Committee C-Fund Transportation Committee. Sorry, I couldn't get the words. Of particular note, we are not borrowing from fund balance in the general fund to balance this budget. This is a balanced general fund budget. We're also not borrowing. We're not doing any kind of GO bonds or anything to balance this budget. We also presented a balanced Public Works Enterprise Fund budget, a balanced Hospitality and Accommodations Tax Fund budget, and a surplus in our sewer fund budget. And
for just a moment, I want the audio record to reflect that Councilmember Cummings has arrived. Thank you. Please continue.
Okay. I also gave you a list of all of the capital purchases by department, but you will note, and I mentioned last time, that the largest capital that we are putting into this budget will be furnishings for the new municipal complex. So all of the office furnishings, the lobby furnishings for police, city hall, and fire are included in this budget. So we scaled back on a lot of our other capital purchases that we generally make, but we are still purchasing patrol vehicles for the police department because we wanna make sure we keep that fleet current, and some other miscellaneous things. Not anything, probably the only other large item of note is the street sweeper that we are purchasing and the Hospitality and Accommodations Tax Fund budget. So I want to back up. We had a little conversation last time about the health insurance renewal. And if you recall, at the time we were at a 9.5% renewal with Blue Choice. And I told you then that we were shopping the market to get that down, and that, you know, if Blue Choice would come down to a reasonable rate, we would likely renew with them because we really don't like to change providers. It's difficult for our employees to navigate through that. So Blue Choice did come down to a 4% renewal, which we were happy with, but we also had offers from Cigna and from Aetna that were less than our current plan premium for this year. So we went back to Blue Choice again and said, you know, you're at a 4% increase, Cigna is a negative 5% renewal. Basically, we're renewing for less than we currently are operating on this fiscal year. And so Blue Choice came back and matched that. So we're very excited about that. It was a great negotiation. I think going from a 9.5% increase to a negative 5% decrease. So it's, you know, that's a huge swing for us. So I do have something new to present to you tonight to consider for first reading of the budget. Because the health insurance premiums are employee benefits, what I'm proposing is that we take a portion of that surplus that will derive from having a lower premium, because we had already prepared the budget based on the 4%. We just got the negative 5% renewal offer on Monday, so yesterday. So it didn't give us a whole lot of time to make modifications to the budget proposal, but what I'm suggesting we do is offer, in addition to the $2,500 salary increase for every employee, a bonus based on years of service. So any employee that has more than 2 years of service would get a $1,000 one-time bonus, and any employee with less than 2 years of service would get a $500 one-time bonus. And the reason I'm suggesting that and not a higher salary increase is because, you know, salary increases compound over time. And so this helps employees out. It's money that we're saving in health insurance premiums. And I think it would be a huge benefit to our employees. And I know we all value them. And you all have certainly shown the value that you place in employees from the time I got here and we started adjusting those public safety salaries, if you recall, and then we adjusted salaries across the board. And then we did the COMPA ratios as well to really bring our employee pay up to a level where we can be competitive and then also offer some significant value to our employees. That's all.
That's all. Okay, thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Hooch.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I move we accept on first reading fiscal year 2023-2024 budget as presented by Ms. Chris Lee.
Second. A motion from Councilmember Gooch with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion?
I'm
Councilmember Gooch, point of order. Councilmember O'Shea?
Would the motion need to include the adjustment that Ms. Grayson just made?
He said as presented.
As presented.
Yeah. Okay. So we're, okay. All right. Councilmember Gooch?
But I'd like that post change. They can amend the motion, but a few questions for you. We're at 59.8 mils, correct?
Correct.
This may be more of a question for our field service manager, Mr. Barano. What's the lowest rate in the state? Is it still Hilton Head? I hate to put you on the spot like that.
You know, we do have some cities that operate with 0 mils, so.
Well, other than those, didn't Hilton Head in the 20s?
You know, off the top of my head, I do not know.
I was just always impressed with how they could operate on such a low military rate, but their values are a lot higher.
Big tax base.
Yeah. When is the reevaluation from Maryland County coming on property?
We just went through reassessment last year, so.
They do it every, is it every five?
Every five.
Every five, okay. The $2,500 raise for employees, where does that put us relative to other municipalities?
So, you know, when we did the class and comp plan a few years ago, that put us in line with other municipalities. We were working with Archer to make sure we got those salary ranges where they needed to be competitive with the other municipalities. I will tell you that my colleagues and I get together every other month, and I hosted our last manager's breakfast. And at that time, a lot of folks had not prepared their budgets yet, and they weren't sure what they would be doing. Because that's one thing we always like to do, is see where everyone else is on cost of living increases or merit increases, so that we continue to make sure those salary ranges stay current and that our employees are paid according to other neighboring municipalities. Most of them had not gotten to that point yet, but I will tell you that there were two that were struggling mightily with getting their budget to balance. And a lot of their issues were health insurance premium related. They had significant renewal increases. Or some were also self-funded plans where they had taken significant losses. Their claims to premium ratio, significant losses. So I don't know where everybody else is. I can tell you, I suspect it'll be somewhere in the 3-4% range. Last year we were at 4.5%. So what the $2,500 flat fee does is it gives, as I mentioned, the same amount of money to a dispatcher as it gives to a department head. And that helps keep those positions. It gives us a little separation too. When we have openings and we have to hire an entry level position, that brings the people who have been with us for a year to 5 years up a little higher, and it gives us a little more breathing room in that salary range.
Of the insurance surplus we'll have because of the basically the negative renewal, how much is that the city bank? Not in a dollar amount, but like percentage wise, or maybe you do have a dollar amount. What are we looking at?
So the dollar amount ends up being about $300,000. And we are not proposing that we spend $300,000 on employee bonuses. The employee bonuses end up costing us about half of that.
Right.
So the rest of the money will just be left in that line item for insurance. As you know, we pay HRA reimbursement on deductible. So we have a high deductible plan. Our deductible is $4,000. We only make the employee pay $1,000 of that. Once they paid out the four, we reimburse them three. So that gives us a little more of a cushion in our HRA for those reimbursements, because that's a shot in the dark. We never really know. We don't know if, you know, how many employees are going to reach that deductible amount in a year.
I don't necessarily mind the bonus so much, but I do mind the taxes that get taken out on the employee for a bonus because it's taxed at a higher rate.
Right.
But if you give them the raise, then you bump them even more. That flattens your curve too much, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and then it also, my bigger concern is we don't know where we're going to be next year.
Yeah.
And if we were to do raises, then that's a cost that goes forward with us year after year after year. So I think it's a good mix of giving people a raise that they'll earn over the course of 12 months, but it also gives them a one-time bonus that, you know, they can
use for, you know, maybe a family vacation, because this would be effective on July 1st. You know, maybe it gives them a little cushion if they're struggling. So that's why I like, you know, offering a bonus.
And just for the record, this does not affect council's pay to anybody who may listen to this one at all.
We did take you all off the list.
Yeah, well, legally you don't have, you can't give us a raise. So. I think that's all I have for the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Rochette.
I'm wondering if we visited the idea, if you consider like a healthcare savings account. I believe that would be tax deductible. And you can
it is, and that's available to our employees if they want to participate in that. And many do. You know, people who are on maintenance medications typically do that. Or if they know they have, you know, a surgical procedure coming up or, you know, some sort of chronic care, they'll participate in that. I personally don't, but, you know, Ms. Clark can tell you that we have a lot of employees who do that.
So along that line, what I meant was take the $3,000 savings and divide it into healthcare savings accounts. That way they wouldn't be taxed on the distribution.
So they're not taxed on that reimbursement because it's money that they actually spent on health care. We just give that back to them. So basically what we're doing is it lowers our premium because we're buying a plan that has a higher deductible. And so we're assuming the risk for that $3,000 gap between the $1,000 deductible plan and the $4,000 deductible plan. You know, the only benefit to employees is if they've had that high deductible, those medical needs that have caused them to reach that $4,000 deductible, then we just reimburse them that amount. And we have found, we look at it every year to see, are we paying more to do the HRA reimbursements than we are to carry a higher premium plan? And what we found every year after year is that it's the best plan for us based on the number of HRA reimbursements that we do.
Councilmember Hutchins.
I may have missed it, but could you tell me what the reason was for the negative renewal?
There was a lot of competition for our business is what it boiled down to. So we knew, and at the committee of the whole meeting, I assured council, because what I presented then was we have a 9.5% renewal from Blue Choice, and that's not acceptable for us. And we knew that we were shopping the market and that we would likely get better rates from other providers. Because when they're trying to earn your business, they'll do. Now, the problem when you switch providers is that the next year they might hit you with a really high renewal, a double-digit renewal. And so we have to temper whatever savings we get by going to a new provider with the potential for having a much higher renewal the next year. So that's another reason why we really didn't want to leave Blue Choice. Unfortunately, we don't have to because they've offered us a very attractive renewal.
The on the budget, proposed budget, the Heritage Park and amphitheater, does that include the expansion that we're...
It does include the new seating contract, yes.
Seating increase.
Yes, we've already paid for the concrete work out of this current budget.
I would like to make a suggestion maybe on some of these items that you mentioned, and the positive thing that we've put together some bullet points and have our community relations specialists maybe put that out there, because I think it'd be good for our citizens to know those things.
They're certainly always very happy when they know we're not proposing a budget and our millage increase.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rip.
The the $150,000 left over, roughly, I think you're saying, from the $300 to $150, what were you suggesting where we placed that?
That will remain in that line item for health insurance, and it would either be used to reimburse those HRA for people who have a higher deductible, or it would stay there and it would be surplus at the end of the fiscal year. Because one thing we've been doing for the last 3 years too is looking at going to a self-funded model for our health insurance. Fortunately, we've had really good renewals and we haven't been forced to do that, which I'm appreciative of, because I'm a little nervous about the self-funded model because we have no control over the loss ratios you know, we would be on the hook for those. Now, we would have another insurance provider that would cap that for catastrophic illnesses, but, you know, that's the problem that two of our neighboring municipalities are having this year with their budget, is they are self-funded through their insurance, and they've taken huge hits. And so having that surplus to build on if we decide to go to self-funded in the future would be really valuable. And it may help us with, you know, a renewal for next year, or if we have unexpected HRA reimbursements or anything like that. Because, like I said, you know, we're projecting what we think those HRA reimbursements might be, but we never know. We could have half of our employees, you know, have pregnancies or, you know, surgeries or other things that might raise their use of the health insurance, which would then make us, you know, we would be, based on our benefits package, responsible for reimbursing them up to $3,000 of their deductible.
Moving to the budget, the furniture I know is a big line item. I understand we're moving to a new building. We probably need some new furniture. As frugal as I am, I feel like I have to ask this. How much of the furniture do we currently have that we would be moving versus getting rid of and buying all new brand furniture?
We're not moving anything.
So what will happen with the existing?
It would be surplus, and Russ Orr, who is our procurement person on staff, will put it on GovDeals. If there's anything of value, it would go on GovDeals. There are a lot of pieces of furniture in this building that have no value, and if it doesn't sell on GovDeals and nobody wants it, it would likely just get demoed with the building.
So what would be the reasoning behind not moving some of that furniture?
It's in terrible shape. I mean, I couldn't imagine these chairs, for instance, in our new council chambers. It would be a little counterintuitive to have this beautiful new council chambers and then put those faded and worn out chairs in there.
Don't forget office. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, I've sat. As far as office furniture, so you're saying no furniture from this building is going to move into the next?
No. You know, if you would like to come take a tour one day of what some of the furniture looks like, that Justin Campbell's office is furnished with furniture that was given to us by Park Sterling when they went to South State Bank and vacated next door. They said, you know, come over and take whatever you want. And that's how we furnished Justin's office. So that's already secondhand furniture. You know, the furnishings in this, I don't know how long that desk in my office has been there. I mean, it's huge and bulky and heavy and not very efficient and scratched up, and it's in terrible shape.
Okay. So what's that line item? I don't have it in front of me, forgive me. Just refer to it.
So that is included in the administrative line item in the budget.
Do we know what that would, where that's gonna fall in?
It's $850,000 is what we have budgeted for that.
And what typically is new furniture each year do we spend as a city?
Just not much. We spent a little bit of money on the judge's office furniture downstairs for our administrative judge. I think we bought a new desk for John Derby in the last couple of years, but very, very little.
Okay.
And we've gotten that from like an Office Depot, you know, clearance type situation. Because, you know, of course, in this building, we don't want it to look terrible, but we also didn't want to spend a lot of money on really nice furnishings, considering we knew we were going to be moving from this building.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I'll take my turn since none of the council members are raising their hand. Just as one comment on furniture, just as an example, fortunately, I don't have much need to get into the desk in the mayor's office. I'm usually just working on top of it. But it'll knock your socks off when you open a drawer because it smells. I do not know what went on inside that desk, but it is horrendous. It reeks. So I don't know if anybody else is suffering from that who actually has a need to get in and out of their desk, but that desk has got to go if none of the other ones do. I just want to comment that thank you and Christine and all of the department heads and the city in general, staff in general,
for all you've done to present a good budget in a year that is a little bit flat on revenues. And we've been able to do this without an increase to the millage, and in fact had a decrease in millage last year, and are able to give nice raises, especially to our employees who most need it, and now bonuses that go with it that comes from having good experience in our health care. And so thank you, everyone. I really appreciate that. And beyond that, I have no further comment. Are there any other comments from council? Okay. So on the motion to approve on first reading of fiscal year 2023-2024 budget as proposed by the city administrator, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. And with that, that concludes all of our agenda items. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.